In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, is a familiar story. We all know the story about the man who had the lunatic son, that is, a son who was demon-possessed. They thought he was a lunatic because the demon would especially be active when the moon was full. And the son was eventually exorcised by Jesus after the apostles were not able to do it. The apostles were alone at that time when the man came to them because Jesus, with his three closest disciples, was up on Mount Tabor showing his transfiguration to them. But then he came down off the mountain and this transpired. And of course, there's the familiar phrase that this kind does not come out except by prayer and fasting, which I've spoken of many times because it's very important. But something else kind of hit me when I was reading the gospel over. And that is, in the beginning, when the man brings the boy to his to the disciples and to Jesus, he says, "I brought him to thy disciples and they could not cure him." I think that's happened to us before. We've wanted to be able to do something and we couldn't do it. Very important thing. Now, this was late in Jesus' ministry, so the apostles had already gone on their trips where they had gone out and raised the dead and healed the sick and exorcised demons. They'd seen the power of God. They'd come back very excited, telling the Lord of those things that happened. And then a man comes to them with a boy who's possessed and they can't cure him. They couldn't heal him. That resonates with me. And it should resonate with all of you. I think there's kind of two kind of Christians in the world. There's the kind that feel deeply their need and deeply God's love and that they are far from God and that they need to struggle with their passions, and they feel a deep sadness and a gladness at the same time, a sadness that they are far from God because of their sins, and feeling deeply their weakness and their inability to cure, their inability to do things that should be done, whether they be in their own personal life or in the lives of others. But then there's another kind of Christian too, and there's that Christian is the one who's really not aware of his weakness and really doesn't feel deeply these needs. And that person, in my experience, is generally pretty happy in general. They might be unhappy about circumstances in life, but they don't have that deep ache in their heart for God. Now, I'm really speaking about right now the person who has that ache in their heart for God. But as a pastor, I pray for those who don't have that ache in their heart for God. And sometimes I feel like the apostles must have felt. And I think you, hopefully all of you, hopefully every one of you, has this feeling that there is, as it were, a man who brings someone, a boy to you, and you are not able to cure him. Whether it because of your lack of faith, or you're just not wise enough, you're not strong enough, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say, you don't know what advice to give. Whatever it is, the problem continues. I hope that you have many occurrences like that in your life, that you're aware of them, because the Christian life is love, and love reaches out to others. Love feels the pain of others, and certainly anyone knows that there's a lot of pain and suffering in the world, and therefore we should desire to alleviate that pain and suffering because of our love for God. But we're desiring things that are too big for us, too difficult for us. Only with God can they be solved. So many times we are unable to cure. And so what do we do? Well, the apostles were quite upset. And so they went to the Lord and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" They'd just seen him cast out easily by the Lord, just by a word. And they wondered, why couldn't we do it? What went wrong this time? And the Lord spoke to them quite frankly. He He said, because of your unbelief. Now, how does unbelief manifest? When you have problems in life, unbelief manifests like the society lives, by being worldly, by being self-indulgent, by escaping from problems instead of confronting them. After all, when you have problems and they continue, it's very tiring to continue to confront the problem. You want to escape from it. Very little prayer in a person with unbelief. And a lot of despondency, sometimes hiding as indifference or even as happiness. Yes, despondency can hide as happiness. Your goal in life is to become like God, to love like God, and to feel for your neighbor. Well, that's a difficult goal. And that goal hurts. Therefore, sometimes you want to run away from that goal if you have unbelief. And since I'm speaking to imperfect people, as I myself have one, we have to all admit. I guess you don't have to admit, but it's true that we all have unbelief. So we all do these kinds of things. If you worry more than you pray, you know that you have unbelief, okay? That's a good rule of thumb. I've done a lot of worrying in my life, a lot of concern for people in my life. And only really, relatively recently have I learned to transmit or translate that worrying into prayer for them. Now, even the prayer has its worries. Because when I pray for people, a lot of times I'm kind of like the person who went up to the Jairus and said, "Don't worry the master anymore, your daughter is dead." So when I pray, I know that I'm an unworthy person praying to God. I know that God hears the prayers of the righteous, but I'm not righteous. And so all that stuff goes on in my head, and I think it probably goes on in some of your heads too. But you just got to kind of cast that off and pray for the people that you're concerned about. Now, the unbelief that I'm talking about is not absolute, not believing in something, like being an atheist. Because the Lord said to the apostles, because of your unbelief, they certainly believed in him. They'd even, before this time, confess that he was the Christ. They believed that he was the Messiah, but they believed in a weak way. And if you believe weakly, you have unbelief. So what does belief look like? Well, belief is really courageous, because belief is not afraid to feel pain, is not afraid to confront problems, doesn't run away from them, doesn't escape from them, prays about them. I suppose hopes all things, believes all things, because belief is to love. And don't believe Hollywood movies. Don't believe secular wisdom. Love is a choice, and love is difficult. Love is hard. Love is painful. To love, that is. In our condition, it is. As we become perfected, love is easy. For the Lord, love is effortless. He is love. And we're becoming that slowly. So if we have belief, we have prayer for others. So measure yourself against this yardstick. I'm sure there's things in your life that you're concerned about. A loved one that's not doing well, your own sins, condition of the world, people suffering. Suffering in the world is so incredible. Just everywhere. You should pray. If you think about these things more than you pray, you have unbelief. With prayer comes rest in God, even realizing that things are bad. And some things don't get better for a long time, if at all. There's a sense of rest when we pray in Christ. And with belief comes obedience. You just do what you're supposed to do. You don't run away from it. And then with belief comes the result. Because the Lord said, ask me, and I will do. He also had you said, you have not because you ask not. But he also said that we must knock at the door consistently. We must bang it down. If a person's in bed and he says, I'm not coming out, we have to be a pest. We have to be the woman before the unjust judge who keeps going and going and going until the prayer is answered. That's hard. That's really hard. It's easy to give that up. And the apostles had sort of a micro moment there. Maybe they were up on Tabor only for a short period of time. So really there might have been a day that transpired. Maybe they traveled a day or a half day and they were up there and then they traveled a half day or a day back. And so they probably weren't gone for longer than a couple days, 3 days maybe at the most. And during that time they couldn't cure him. Must have seemed like forever, even if it was only a few hours. And when they asked the Lord, he said, because of your unbelief. But then he said something else that's very, it gives me great hope. It should give you great hope too. He said, I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to a yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you. Mustard, tiny, tiny, tiny seed, very, very small. But it becomes a gigantic, it's called a tree, but it's actually a gigantic bush, a big plant from a tiny seed. When I read that, I think, you know, I can do that. God can help me to do that, to have just a little bit of faith, to have a tiny bit of faith. He's not telling you to have a great amount of faith. He's telling you to have faith like a mustard seed. But there's things about a mustard seed you must understand. Of course, the mustard seed is very pungent, right? You grind it up and you make mustard, which is a pungent herb. So your faith must be like that. Your faith must be alive. Your faith must be where you are continually struggling, not running away from things, but confronting them with prayer and with fasting, with effort, with purpose. And then that mustard seed grows and becomes a great, large tree. And so it is with our faith, a small, tiny bit. You can't give the Lord any more than you have. If you have only a tiny bit, that's all you can give him. But he takes that tiny bit and he multiplies it. And that gives me great hope. And it should give you great hope too. But there's great responsibility there too. Because if the Lord required of us that we could bring down fire from heaven like Elias, that would be an unfair requirement. Only so many men are born to be that great. We're not great. We're just unprofitable servants. And we occasionally do as we're told. And so the Lord doesn't expect us to be that great. Not in the beginning. He expects us to have grain like a mustard seed, a small amount. But you have to feed that faith with prayer, with fasting, with desire, with effort. Don't let yourself have the excuse to say, well, you know, I didn't pray today because I didn't have time. Call that excuse what it is, just a lie. It means you have unbelief. It means you have very, very little faith. Struggle to pray. Even if the prayer doesn't seem very strong, even if it doesn't feel like you have that much attention in it, even if all kinds of things go wrong, pray. That's why I also tell you to read the Gospels. Because the Gospels will bring about a prayerful attitude in you if you read them correctly. And as you pray, and as you read the Gospels, then God uses you. Things happen. And things that you weren't able to cure, they become cured. Of course, nothing happens from our own strength. It's all from God. But God requires each one of us to do things. He requires us to be the one that gives them to eat. Us be the ones to heal. That's a great responsibility. Do you know that you're acting like God when you heal someone? Whether it be by word or deed, by compassion, by giving them comfort, support, showing you care. That's godlike. You're acting like God. It's a great responsibility and a great privilege. But it's hard to act like God because we're not God. So we're very weak. So we're like the apostles. So you have your answer for why things don't happen, why things don't go well in your life. I'm not talking about your circumstances of your employment and other such things. Those are trivialities. I mean, they're difficulties that we go through, and they're important going through them. But I'm talking about the deep needs of your soul. Sometimes your soul still feels pretty parched, and you see the deep needs of other people, and you see how they're just not getting better. Well, the reason why is because of your unbelief. So rebuke yourself for that, but also take great courage, great happiness, be happy about the fact that the Lord says all you need to do is have the grain, faith as a grain of a mustard seed. You think you can do that? I think you can. The Lord thinks you can. That's very, very important. Now, this gospel has a lot of other details, but really, this detail is the one I think that really matters to make you believe and understand the other details and put them into action. If you don't have a deep sense that there are things that aren't being accomplished in your life that should be, and a sort of a perplexity, why not? And you're not asking the Lord, not in so many words, but in terms of your soul crying out, then the fact that this kind comes out by prayer and fasting is superfluous to you. It won't make any difference. Feel the need. You know, as a pastor, that's one thing I pray for all of you to have. To feel deeply your need for God. Feel deeply your own humanity, your own weakness, and your need for Christ. And if you feel that need, that's painful. That hurts. But if you feel that need and then add prayer and contemplation and loving your neighbor and struggling against your passion, then wonderful things happen. That's my prayer for you as a pastor, that you feel deeply your need, your sin. Because without knowing what's wrong with you, you can't fix what's wrong with you. So the apostles knew something was wrong. Something's wrong with us too. Let's listen to the Lord's words. Let's accept his rebuke that we have unbelief in our life. But let's also accept his promise that he knows we're weak, and he asks us to just have a little bit of faith. Can you cultivate a little bit of faith? I think you can. May God help us. Amen.